live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time here on this Wednesday. That's right. It is hump day, August 15th, 2018. You indeed are locked in to WKAR's current sports, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM here in East Lansing, Michigan. A lot to get to on today's current sports. For those that tuned in to yesterday's show, you know that we pretty much dedicated the majority of the hour to the Maryland story. A story that has really sparked up a ton of conversation and ushered in the conversation of safety, player safety in the world of sports. Now, again, I don't think that every college football program is under the microscope here due to the death of offensive lineman Jordan McNair at Maryland. But I noted on Tuesday's current sports, I do believe that there is a conversation that can be had and should be had discussing how some coaches just go too far when pushing their respective athletes. Should you push your athletes? Without a doubt. You know, you should always be striving to kind of motivate, inspire, and push your players to become the best that they can be while out there performing. But there is a clear line. There is a clear line. A line that the University of Maryland college football program clearly crossed. So a press conference was had right after we got off the air yesterday at 2 p.m. on the campus at the University of Maryland. We heard from the University of Maryland's president as well as the university's athletic director, President Wallace D. Lowe, and AD Damon Evans. Both spoke. Both were incredibly transparent and honest. Both met with the family of Jordan McNair and expressed sympathy and took full responsibility for what occurred last month. So, new details, in addition to that press conference, were released during the press conference concerning how those on staff for the football program at the University of Maryland just completely dropped the ball. We'll bring those new details to you all. You'll hear from President Wallace D. Lowe. You'll hear from Maryland AD Damon Evans. You'll also even hear from a former University of Michigan football player who used to play under D.J. Durkin out in Ann Arbor. A lot of people forget that D.J. Durkin was a coordinator at the University of Michigan back in the day. So we'll kind of put a bow on this conversation and bring those new details to you. And I want to hear from you guys. We did not have any callers yesterday, and I want to hear your voice here on Current Sports. Don't be shy. I don't bite. All right, I think this is an incredibly serious topic, and I know many of you have thoughts on it. I want to hear your perspective on everything that is taking place at the University of Maryland. And is there a conversation that needs to be had when it comes to the macho mentality that a lot of these coaches have? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News and join the live stream there, or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports. Also on the show, you will play again Mark D'Antonio's pre-practice soundbite from yesterday's workout, as Mark D'Antonio pegged a few players who are turning a few heads throughout preseason training camp leading up to the first game on August 31st, a Friday night game against Utah State. You don't want to miss that conversation. And also, we'll discuss the quarterback battle happening, quote-unquote quarterback battle happening out in Ann Arbor for Jim Harbaugh's college football program. So that and so much more. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, we start with the University of Maryland press conference that took place yesterday on campus at 2 p.m. University of Maryland President Wallace D. Lowe stated that the university accepts legal and moral responsibility for the mistakes made by its athletic training staff at a workout on May 29th that ultimately led to the death of 19-year-old offensive lineman Jordan McNair, who passed away from a heat stroke. Now, according to the preliminary findings from a university-hired external investigation led by Walters Incorporated, the Maryland staff did not take McNair's temperature at the workout, did not apply a cold water immersion treatment, and did not follow the emergency response plan appropriately. Maryland also announced yesterday that it has dismissed strength and conditioning coach Rick Court for his role in the alleged abusive and toxic culture at Maryland. So, again, hold tight. You'll hear from President Wallace D. Lowe, AD Damon Evans, and also you'll hear straight from Evans concerning the preliminary findings of the investigation in just a moment. But I also want to bring this story to you all. Former Michigan star, football star, Jabril Peppers, now a safety for the Cleveland Browns, said that he felt some of DJ Durkin's coaching tactics were extreme at times. Now, if you remember, Durkin was the defensive coordinator for the Wolverines back in 2015. Durkin, again, the embattled Maryland football coach, on administrative leave as the school investigates the culture of fear and intimidation. Alleged culture of fear and intimidation that ultimately may have led and played a role in the death of Jordan McNair. Here is Jabril Peppers on the Rich Eisen show yesterday describing Durkin's style as, quote, bully coaching.
When DJ Durkin was your defensive coordinator, and I'm sure you're reading what's going on in Maryland. Did he exhibit any of the tactics that are being alleged to have been made in football in Maryland right now, Jabril?
I mean, because Dirk, he was a different guy, you know what I mean? But, you know, his tactics were different, you know. I felt extreme at times. But, you know, I'm just in shock, you know, reading all the stuff that's going on now, because I thought, you know, he was only like that because of, you know, it was his first time, you know, coaching us. He's a defensive coordinator, you know, so he was just trying to get us to buy into how he wants his defense to play. And I thought, you know, once he became a head coach, you know, that he would, you know, calm down a little bit, become more of a, you know, a people person, a player's coach. But I wasn't really following him, you know, once he left, you know, because, you know, a couple of the guys, including myself, we didn't like how everything went down, you know, when he left. But I'm just as shocked as, you know, reading and stuff that I'm seeing as well.
Can you give me an example of the extreme that you witnessed or went through in a way, Jabril?
It's just the way, you know, that he goes about getting the most out of his players. You know, me, you know, being from where I'm from, you know, I didn't like it, but at the end of the day, I knew what the overall goal was. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just the, you know, the way I would describe it, you know, it's kind of like bully coaching.
Bully coaching. Again, that audio coming courtesy of the Rich Eisen Show, in which former University of Michigan football star Jabril Pepper spoke with Eisen on bully coaching that he alleges occurred while he was a football star at the University of Michigan in 2015 when DJ Durkin was a defensive coordinator. I do believe I want to provide some clarity when it comes to bully coaching and this whole DJ Durkin conversation in just a moment, all right? Because I think there's two conversations that need to be had here, all right? So keep it locked for that. The Michigan judge who presided over Larry Nassar's extraordinary week-long sentencing hearing on charges of sexual assault in January will be allowed to hear his appeal for a new sentence. Now, attorneys for the disgraced former USA Gymnastics and USA team doctor who was confronted with accusations of abuse of more than 150 girls, women, and parents had argued that comments by Judge Rosemarie Aquilina during the hearing displayed bias against him and reflected a desire to advance her own agenda. You know, when it comes to this whole story, which is just ridiculous to me, again, we all know that Judge Rosemarie Aquilina was the judge presiding over this. And, you know, she certainly expressed how much of a monster Larry Nassar was in court. Well, when it comes to Nassar alleging that there was bias, a judge has struck down Larry Nassar as he attempted to disqualify the judge that sentenced him to decades in prison, in Judge Rosemarie Aquilina. On Tuesday, Judge Richard J. Garcia denied Nassar's motion to disqualify Aquilina. And Nassar's attorney alleged that Aquilina had, you know, used the sentencing, which was broadcast on national TV, to advance her own agenda. So that's now thrown out. Nassar also, this is important, Nassar is also seeking a new sentence in his Eaton County case, where he was charged with sexually assaulting girls and women at Twistar's gymnastics facility in Diamonddale, Michigan. All right. The Detroit Tigers manager Ron Gardenhire wasn't in a mood to break down this one. All right. When it comes to the 6-3 loss to the Chi Sox on Tuesday at Comerica Park, Gardenhire went on to say, quote, "We weren't pretty. We just had one of those bad news Bears games. It went crooked right out of the gate for the Tigers. Top of the first, a lazy fly ball flew to shallow center field, and Victor Reyes, his throw went to nobody in particular. The next hitter hit a single to right, and Nick Castellanos airmailed a throw over the cutoff man and into the infield. The madness ended with your basic two-run sacrifice fly and double play." Yeah. The top half of the first inning ended with the White Sox scoring twice on an inning-ending sack fly that turned into an 8-6-3-4-4-6 double play. The Tigers are now 50-70 on the season. They have just gotten underway in the conclusion of this series against the Chicago White Sox. It is the top of the first inning at Comerica Park right now. Score is nothing to nothing. We'll keep you updated on that score throughout the hour. The race for the National League West Division crown is heating up, so it may be no surprise that tempers flared between two storied rival clubs last night. This was a doozy, right? The L.A. Dodgers outfielder Yasiel Puig, who is always the outspoken one, appeared to take a swing at San Francisco Giants catcher Nick Hundley, sparking a bench-clearing brawl and leading to the ejection of both players in the seventh. Now, the fight started after Puig showed his frustration from fouling off a pitch from Giants reliever Tony Watson. Hundley had some words for Puig. The two stood face-to-face, and a pushing match ensued. Puig added, quote, "I didn't like that he was telling me what to do. And then he said some words to me in English that I really can't repeat. So that is why I was upset. Gotta love baseball brawls, right? As long as nobody's hurt. All right, the Grand Rapids Drive, the official NBA G League affiliate of your Detroit Pistons, announced two 2018 open tryout dates earlier yesterday. Pre-registration for both dates are now available. The Grand Rapids tryout will take place on Saturday, September 22nd from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at MSA Woodland in Grand Rapids. The Detroit tryout will take place the following day, Sunday, September 23rd from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Joe Dumars Field House, Detroit. I've spent many times at Joe D playing pickup games. Haven't been there in quite some time. Maybe I'll try out, right? Doors will open at 8 a.m. on both days for players to check in. Both tryouts will be closed to the public, just in case any of you embarrass yourself. It won't go viral, hopefully. All right. Fans of the Cleveland Browns, which won zero games in last year's NFL season, will have a locked beer-stocked refrigerator mocking them at the end of each loss during the 2018 season until the team squeaks out a win. Bud Light plans to install victory fridges. I kid you not, that's what they're being called. Victory fridges at Cleveland's First Energy Stadium and bars around the city that are stoked. Stocked. I read that wrong. Stocked with beer and will use smart technology to open after the team's first regular season win. So if the Browns win, free beer for the Cleveland Browns fans. This is coming from a press release from Anheuser-Busch. Quote, at the very moment the Browns achieve that long-awaited victory, the Bud Light Browns victory fridges will simultaneously unlock, giving fans 21 and over the chance to enjoy the sweet taste of victory together. Very well said. The smart refrigerators will be activated in the Cleveland area for a home and away games. Here's hoping the fridges don't unlock September 16th when the Browns, face the New Orleans Saints in their third regular season game at Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So we'll see what happens when it comes to this whole Cleveland Browns winning situation and free beer for fans. I think they'll get a win this season. I've been watching Hard Knocks. I didn't watch last night's episode on HBO, but yeah. I don't know. I think they'll get a win, though. Tyrod Taylor, please deliver this for the fans. It's long overdue. All right. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing. All right, for those that tuned into Tuesday's version of Current Sports, you all know that we focus primarily on the University of Maryland situation involving DJ Durkin and members of his coaching staff. Under fire right now, members of that coaching staff, including DJ Durkin, on paid administrative leave for how they allegedly mishandled a team workout back in June that led to the death of offensive lineman Jordan McNair. We discussed whether or not there is a toxic culture, not just at the University of Maryland college football program, but just in sports in general, specifically football, when it comes to the macho mentality that some coaches have, pushing athletes too far and not putting the health of their players first. Now, I want to clear up some things because I think when having this conversation, it's easy to just loop every coach and every program into the same bucket. All right? Not every coach is negligent in this regard. All right? Not every coach is out there, you know, denying their players water during practices and workouts. Not every coach is out there, you know, pushing their players to a limit that really puts them at risk health-wise. Has it happened? Yeah, far too often. Certain coaches do have that mentality. You know, I was watching a broadcast on the Big Ten Network yesterday where they were kind of breaking down the situation, and there was one analyst whose name evades me right now, but he talks about how back in the day when he was playing, you know, he's a former player in college. Back in the day, I mean, it was a luxury to have water during practice. You know, that was a privilege. When really, you know, especially when you're having these outdoor workouts where it's scorching hot in the summertime, it's a necessity. So every program is not operating with this kind of just stupidity. That's what it is at the end of the day. But there are some coaches out there who have that sick mentality. Be tough. Muscle through it. You don't eat water. Get up. You know, it's that sick mentality that can lead to unfortunate situations like this. Now, after we got off the air yesterday at the University of Maryland, you know, we reported this during the hour as we saw it on Twitter. The university held a press conference in which the president and the athletic director both spoke. President Wallace D. Lowe and Maryland athletic director Damon Evans. Both Evans and Lowe, prior to the press conference, noted that they had met with the parents of McNair. They were both very emotional, and both of them took responsibility on behalf of the university, saying that the university, quote, accepts legal and moral responsibility for their mistakes that were made in this situation. And, you know, from a moral standpoint and from a standpoint of how a university handles something like this, I thought that Wallace D. Lowe and Damon Evans did the right thing. They got out in front of the cameras, in front of the public, in front of the mics, and said, we messed up. We accept responsibility for what happened here. That is how you handle it. But unfortunately, it's a bit too late. No amount of words are going to bring back Jordan McNair. And, you know, when listening to, you know, because I also watched a few media outlets, local media outlets in the Maryland area who are covering this, TV commercial outlets who are covering this and spoke to some of the family of Jordan McNair. Specifically, one interview that really stood out to me was Jordan McNair's uncle speaking to the press out there, speaking to one TV station out there and saying that, look, man, I mean, this university killed my nephew. I'm angry. And I believe if I had to, you know, make a guess here, I think that a lawsuit is going to be coming from the McNair family suing the University of Maryland. I can't blame them. I can't blame them. And the new revelations also that we heard during yesterday's press conference coming from Maryland Athletic Director Damon Evans, which I'll get to in just a moment. Again, this is what they have found coming from the investigation. Some concrete, hardcore evidence here that we can now dissect and draw an opinion on. I'll bring those to you in just a moment. You probably just heard it during the headliners. If you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'll let you hear it from the mouth of Damon Evans in just a moment. But we do have a few bites that I want to get to. Connor Mathis, the man behind the glass, engineering today's Current Sports. I want to start, Connor, with President Wallace D. Lowe speaking on McNair's death and also noting that he had a conversation along with Damon Evans, meeting up with McNair's family.
Just got back from Baltimore. We went there this morning to meet with the parents of Jordan McNair. And I want to meet with them in private to express on behalf of the university our apology for their loss of their son. I said to them, and I said I will be mentioning it publicly this afternoon, but I wanted them to hear it directly from me this morning. The university accepts legal and moral responsibility for the mistakes that our training staff made on that fateful workout day of May the 29th, which of course led subsequently to his death on June 13th. I'm committed to doing the right thing, and nothing that we can do can bring closure to their enormous loss. But I made this commitment to the parents this morning, together with Athletic Director Damon Evans. We both made this commitment that no Maryland student athlete will ever be in a situation where his or her life and safety and life will be at risk, especially when that risk is foreseeable. I made that commitment to them. I'm making it now to all of our student athletes and the University of Maryland community and to all the people of Maryland.
Again, President Wallace D. Lowe. I thought that President Wallace D. Lowe did a great job, as you know, as best as you can in a situation like this, right? A great job of being transparent, being honest, apologizing to the family, and again, taking responsibility, full responsibility on behalf of the university. That is how you handle something like this. Maryland Athletic Director Damon Evans spoke shortly after Wallace D. Lowe took the podium. And here is Damon Evans on McNair's death and also speaking to McNair's family.
I share these preliminary findings with Jordan's mother and father. We shared our deepest apologies and sincere regrets. As a father, there are no words to say to Jordan's parents that are good enough. I have looked into the eyes of a grieving mother and father, and there is simply nothing good enough. We will honor Jordan's life, and we will ensure that a tragedy such as this never happens on our campus again by working every single day to provide the safest environment for our student athletes on and off the field.
And again, you heard Evans, AD Damon Evans, say at the beginning there that he shared the preliminary findings with the family of Jordan McNair and the details of what they know occurred on that day on June 29th that led to the heat stroke death of McNair. Now, when it comes to those preliminary findings, what have they found out? What do they know right now? Well, here is Damon Evans on those new revelations.
We launched an independent review conducted by some of the leading experts in sports medicine, led by Rod Walters. That team has been interviewing our students, coaches, and training staff to determine how our staff responded that day. While the review is ongoing, we know enough now to share some of the preliminary findings. We have learned that Jordan did not receive appropriate medical care, and mistakes were made by some of our athletic training personnel. Specifically, in his preliminary observations, Walters found that the emergency response plan was not appropriately followed. Second, the care we provided was not consistent with best practices. And third, that heat illness was not promptly identified or treated. Our athletic training staff did not take Jordan's temperature and did not apply a cold water immersion treatment. I expect additional findings when the Walters report is complete. That report will be made public. We have already taken immediate steps to put additional safeguards in place for all of our athletic practices and training, not just football. We have changed how we practice and also how we train our staff. We have specifically changed how we practice in the heat by increasing breaks and adding cooling stations. I have also commissioned a second team of legal and sports experts who will review the recent allegations of unacceptable behaviors in our football program. I want to be clear that I have not witnessed any behavior as what was described in the media, but it is essential that we fully review these allegations, and that is why we are conducting an independent third-party review led by national leaders.
So again, there's an independent review taking place, as you just heard AD Damon Evans state, but also the investigation, a panel of four that has already come to a few conclusions, as you just heard from Damon Evans. And that, you know, as a panel of four, a few of those members that I want to acknowledge in this investigation are Ben Legg, who is a retired chief judge, U.S. District Court for Maryland. Alex Williams, retired judge, U.S. District Court for Maryland and former Prince George's County State's Attorney. And also Charlie Sheeler, senior counsel, former prosecutor, U.S. Attorney's Office for Maryland, lead counsel, investigation of steroid use in Major League Baseball. I mean, his resume goes on and on and on. But again, you just heard from Damon Evans on the preliminary findings, and more information is going to come out as these investigations continue to unfold by the day. But the early stages of that internal investigation, again, show that McNair did not receive appropriate medical attention. Evidence shows that the training staff failed to follow an emergency response plan, take McNair's temperature, and apply any kind of cold water immersion treatments after McNair began showing signs of clear exhaustion. Negligence, stupidity, all rolled into one, leading to the death of a 19-year-old young man. I'm going to let all of that digest for a moment as we hit our first break. When we come back, I'll have final thoughts on it. I encourage you all to call in and give yours. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Some of you weighing in on social media at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have been covering and playing a few bites from yesterday's University of Maryland press conference in which President Wallace D. Lowe and Maryland Athletic Director Damon Evans spoke to the media concerning the death of Jordan McNair and brought to the fold new details of the preliminary findings of the investigation. Lowe and Evans took moral and legal responsibility on behalf of the University of Maryland for the mistakes that were made. And also, you know, we play during our quick hit headliners a former player of DJ Durkin's back at the University of Michigan. DJ Durkin was defensive coordinator in Ann Arbor back in 2015. Jabril Peppers went on the Rich Eisen show and said that Durkin's style was that of bully coaching. I have some points I want to make about that, but I want to go to our phone lines right now. Let's go to line one. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to weigh in on the situation out in Maryland. Mike, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Thank you, Al. Do you consider it's a horrible thing that what happened in Maryland, but do you consider, like, you read about this a lot of times with not just men coaches, but women coaches too. It's not practicing for a sport, but do you consider this like a form of join a fraternity or a hazing where extreme conditions are being used to get people prepped up and ready for what they are, for what they like? They join a fraternity or sorority or even a football or a basketball team. Do you consider that the same kind of abuse? What's your take on that, man? I appreciate you bringing this topic up because I look at some of these high school coaches, and they just as bad as the college coaches. Probably some of them even worse than some of the college coaches is. At least college, you got people out there watching, like the news reporters and the TV people. I just thank you for bringing up the topic. I just want to hear what your take on what I'm just saying. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Mike. And you know, we kind of discussed this yesterday, Connor. I brought up frat life. You know, I'm a member of a fraternity. You know, I pledged when I was, at Michigan State University and crossed when I was at Michigan State University. And, you know, I tell you what you're seeing in frat life, fraternity life is changing. Sorority life is changing. No longer are fraternities and sororities getting away with the abuse and things they used to get away with back in the day. There's another conversation that needs to be had here, though, Mike, because, you know, when I hear Jabril Peppers go on the Rich Eisen show, and, you know, address how DJ Durkin was kind of a bully coach. Well, when we start to have, you know, this debate now when it comes to coaching techniques. And I want to clear up a few things here because, you know, how many times have you been watching a sporting event, or how many times have you been at a practice, or again, for I'm talking to all of our athletes out there as well, those who play youth sports or are maybe playing sports right now, you know, had your coach yell at you? How many times have we seen a coach yell and scream and get in a player's face? I mean, we see it with Tom Izzo all the time, right? I mean, he flips his wig and turns red. You know, I mean, we see this all the time. I was yelled at, you know, when I played basketball as a young man. Growing up, you know, I remember countless times Coach Yoches would get in my face, yell at me, spit on my face. You know, I mean, not spit in my face, yell so much that, you know, spit is flying from his mouth into my face. I mean, he was crazy, you know, but I tell you what, it motivated me. And I tell you what, depending on the athlete, that's why you have, as a coach, you have to know your players, because sometimes that technique works. I needed a coach to yell at me and get in my grill sometimes because I wasn't bringing it at that moment. And that kind of stuff motivated me. Where in the flip side of things, you know, some athletes don't respond well to that kind of coaching technique. You know, some players mentally check out and say, look, I can't deal with that. You know, I've seen it happen here at Michigan State sometimes. I think some players who have decided to take their talents elsewhere and transfer to different programs can't deal with Tom Izzo getting in their face and challenging them a bit. I think that stuff is healthy sometimes. All right? Now, the conversation that we're having when it comes to Jordan McNair and his situation is a totally different conversation, all right? I think that some of these kids are a bit soft today and need a coach to get in his grill or her grill and say, hey, man, what are you doing? You know, I'm trying to get the best out of you. But when it comes to the case of Jordan McNair, I mean, this was just stupidity. I mean, you see your player out there clearly exhausted, clearly moving a bit slow. And, you know, and you're out there outside, it's scorching hot, and you do nothing to make sure that that player is okay and hydrated. That's just common sense. These are two different conversations that I think I don't want to have blurred lines with, Connor, because I don't know. I mean, we got Connor Mathis, Alec Rio, and Jack Kerwin behind the glass. I don't know what kind of sports you guys played back in high school, but again, I had coaches who were yellers. I had coaches who got in my grill, and again, I did tell the story when I was 8 years old yesterday on the west side of Detroit playing with the Pal League Cardinals at Cody High School, how, you know, there's a fine line, right? I mean, I'm 8 years old, and that coach grabs my face mask and throws me in the grass. I mean, come on now. I'm 8 years old, right? There are clear lines that you know you should not cross. On the flip side of that, there are situations as a coach where I do believe you have to motivate your young players, you know, or motivate grown men, to be honest. I think some of these professional players could use a bit of that as well. But when a player is clearly exhausted, when there is clearly a health problem going on, I mean, you're going to play craps with that? You know, you're going to not make sure that that player is okay? There's a fine line when it comes to me. Connor, your thoughts on that? And again, I just think that the conversations here are two separate conversations.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I can think of a moment probably back early high school. I played a summer league team, and I remember there was one game where we got where we lost because one of our guys got ejected from it with a tech. We was bad. People were cursing out refs afterwards. Our coach was ticked off. The next day of practice, we ran for a whole practice. But just because we ran during practice doesn't mean he didn't cut off water breaks, like things for players' well being. Like you can use the quote unquote bully tactics without overstepping a line. You can make people work out in certain ways that's gonna push them without putting their health at risk. Like, right. The thing that blows my mind is, I remember, and again, I heard the BTN broadcast, they're like, well, you know, there's no, because they're talking about the trainers. Well, there's no way that DJ Durkin would have been able to know that his player was in that state of a condition. I'm sorry, as a coach, there are like, I get where not all coaches are all like medical background, but like as a coach, there are like three or four basic injuries that you should be able to diagnose relatively easily without anything. A concussion symptoms, that's easy to spot. You get hit in the head and they you know they're a little off. That's one. Sprains. I mean, that's another one. Stuff swells up and heat exhaustion. There's a whole bunch of symptoms that lead up to that, and it's such a preventable thing. I think that's the part that really is just mind blowing. That it's such a preventable condition to get there. Like it's just hydrating. It's making sure that guys are okay. Like,
it's amazing to me that this happens in 2018.
Exactly.
And to piggyback off your point about concussions, I mean, concussions, you know, are a bit, and we've had multiple guests to discuss it, including, you know, Joanne Gerstner, who's wrote a whole book on concussions. Concussions are a bit iffy because sometimes a player can have a concussion and just not show any symptoms, right? Because that's happening internal in the brain. But if your player is clearly exhausted, heat stroke is preventable. You know, it's preventable. I mean, it's amazing to me. We're looking up some stats this morning. You know, it is indefensible that heat stroke happens an average of more than three times a year across the United States, mostly in high schools. Mostly in high schools because, you know, due to the large numbers of participants in high schools and to some extent, you know, the low number of qualified athletic trainers monitoring high schoolers' activity, you know, it happens more than a handful of times in college, as we're seeing right now. It only happened in the NFL once, with Corey Stringer. And that's the name I was trying to pull out my hat yesterday. I couldn't remember the athlete's name, but, you know, this morning I looked it up. Corey Stringer passing away in 2001. Even one death is too many. with proper athletic training supervision, with proper supervision, Heath stroke is preventable and it is treatable. Jordan McNair's life could have been saved here. This is a young man that should be still walking this earth, still looking forward to a possible great season at the University of Maryland, and now that is cut short. So I don't know if Jack or Alec had any thoughts. I know we have Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Jack didn't join us yesterday for this convo. Jack, any thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you guys kind of summed it up. I think there's a difference between tough love and just going too far and not caring about your players. I remember back when I was playing football, even when we were doing something like a walkthrough, our coaches wanted us engaged and focused. And if we weren't, we would run. But, you know, they'd never deny us water or, you know, not look after us if something was wrong. So I think the big thing for me is there's a difference here between tough love and not caring about the well-being of your players, I guess. And, you know, like you said, I mean, I had coaches that were hard on me growing up, and I think in a lot of ways, it probably helped me. I could take criticism well, I think, but I think this is a little bit different for sure.
Oh, without a doubt. Two totally different conversations. Yeah. Alec, anything before we hit our second break here, our final break?
My football coach, I remember he would not let us get water until all of us completed like a mile and a half of running, and he held everyone to the same standards, so including the linebackers, the QB, and even the offensive and defensive linemen. He would, like, until they finished that mile and a half conditioning run, no one could get water. And I could see problems with that because, you know, obviously the linemen aren't, you know, as used to conditioning as, say, like a wide receiver or running back. And so I remember I would hear the linemen saying, like, you could hear them, like, breathing heavily in the background saying, yeah, I need water really bad. And, like, that was just an experience growing up that, like, I was just like, wow. Like, there are some coaches who are willing to make players go to the extreme and make water seem like it's just like this, oh, you're not a man thing.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to me.
Something to think about for sure. All right, listen to our final break. When I come back, there's an important conversation that needs to be had when it comes to Comcast possibly cutting the Big Ten Network and the ripple effect this could have on your viewing pleasure when it comes to Big Ten football and Big Ten sports, period. So we'll bring that story to you and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, with just 10 minutes left here in the hour. Again, we're taking your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, discussing what has been happening at the University of Maryland in light of the unfortunate death of Jordan McNair, offensive lineman who died due to heat stroke after a workout with the team last month. Was scheduled to have at least one of these two individuals on today, Peter Schmuck, sports columnist of the Baltimore Sun and radio talk show host for WBAL 1090 AM. Talk with Peter today, and he happened to be traveling during today's hour, and also was working on trying to get Andy Koska on the show. He is a sports reporter for the University of Maryland student newspaper, and there happens to be media availability with the team during this hour of Current Sports as well. So hopefully we can get either Koska or Schmuck on the show as the week proceeds. Until then, we're taking your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before I at least introduce this topic to you all of Comcast possibly cutting the Big Ten Network, the 10-year contract expires on August 31st. For those who have Comcast, the Big Ten Network, you probably won't be able to watch, you know, anything, you know, from the Big Ten Network, because it doesn't look like, you know, Comcast is going to renew their contract with the Big Ten Network. And this, everybody loses here. I think Graham Couch, who wrote a column this morning entitled "Everybody Loses If Big Ten Network and Comcast Don't Strike a Deal," fans especially, I think Graham knocked it out the park with that opinion. But I'm one of those guys who have already cut the cable, Connor. I no longer, as of last week, I cut the cord, man, and I went a different route, all right? And I won't say, because I'm not going to bash any, you know, network out there, right? I won't say what cable company I had, but let's just say it's in this conversation, all right? line one, Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's on your mind, my man? Welcome to Current Sports.
Skipper.
What's up?
You know what I seen on Big Ten Network yesterday?
What'd you see?
They were talking about the Bullies, and they ain't won but one national title in 100 years, and they're going to win the national title this year.
Who? Someone said they're going to win the national title this year on
Are
the Big Ten
scared?
Network?
Are you scared?
No. Why would? No, not at all. I mean, have you looked at Jim Harbaugh's track record? Hold on, did you say somebody on the Big Ten? The Big Ten Network was, for those that don't know, the Big Ten Network, they're doing this tour series. They were present at Michigan State football practice yesterday. I saw my man Darian Harris joining the fellas on that broadcast. But did you say someone on the Big Ten Network said they're going to win the national title this year?
No, I just...
You're just pulling
my
chain.
A lot of these people down in Ann Arbor telling me they're going to win the national title.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on that.
Jokers. I mean, they've won one in 100 years. Hey, is Scott going to be ready back? Is he going to be back for the Bullies?
Who is that? Josiah Scott? Yes.
Yeah, the one that got hurt. That's
He should be ready for the Michigan and Michigan State game. However, he's gonna miss some time. I think it was like 2 months is what I heard. Yeah, 2 months.
Yeah,
I
hope he can come back the week before they play Penn State on the road. They need to get him nice and prepared for the Bullies when they come to town where you can beat the tar out of them again.
I know you're looking forward to that, Ray. The big game. I can't wait for
it
that
won't
game.
Be long, Jimmy.
Jim Harbaugh has to win that.
It's going to be bye-bye, Jimmy.
There you go. So you just called in to just poke some fun at the cats out in Ann Arbor, as always, Ray, right?
Yeah, they're easy pickings.
All right. Yes, they are. All right. Thanks a lot, Ray. Appreciate the call, my man. And, yeah, you know, we played a snippet yesterday from practice, Mark D'Antonio being made available prior to the 10 a.m. practice yesterday for Michigan State football. And, you know, he hit on a few things. Including, you know, a few names to look forward to that have really been turning heads in practice so far for Michigan State. Names like corner Josh Butler, who, again, has to step up in light of the absence of Josiah Scott. Also corner Shakur Brown and even corner Kalen Gervin. So those guys, that hub of corners for Michigan State football, knowing that they have to step up. Knowing that Josiah Scott is not there. Also, there's like an open battle when it comes to the linebacker position for Michigan State football. Mark D'Antonio noted how they can go three or four deep at the linebacker position. And also, two surprise players that have really impressed Mark D'Antonio so far, junior linebacker Tariq Thompson and also sophomore linebacker. So discussing this whole linebacker battle, right? But also sophomore linebacker Brandon Randall have been performing quite well, according to Coach D, in practice. Again, if you have not heard, for all of you who enjoy Comcast and the Comcast broadcast and cable network, they will probably not have, which is a bit unfortunate, probably not have the Big Ten Network this upcoming year. I think this will cause a big ripple effect, Connor, when it comes to those who enjoy Big Ten sports, especially those here in East Lansing, Michigan. This will be a huge loss, but I also think it's a bit of a peek into how in 2018 cable networks are losing money and are trying different things to try and pad that harsh realization here. Because if you look at the numbers, if you look at just the numbers alone, they're not impressive. They are not impressive. And, you know, if a deal isn't struck here, I'm curious to see how Comcast tries to combat it. But how surprised are you that a deal has not been made?
Not surprised. I mean, like you said, a lot of people are now cutting the cord. There are other ways to get a lot of these channels that previously would be offered in various different like sports packages and things like that. I mean, just me. I most of my TV comes off of like separate apps from. I just put it on my Xbox, and that's how I watch TV.
I'm right there, and then
I have a Roku. So I mean, it's like I don't need to go in and get the middle of the road crap channels that I don't really want to watch. When really all I'm looking at is like like ESPN, mm-hmm. NFL Network, that kind of stuff. And also, I think with apps like Hulu starting to, and Amazon Prime starting to dabble in the live broadcasts of games, I think those right. big cable companies are starting to realize that they're in a bit of hot water.
Yeah, that's so true. Now that I've cut the cord, again, as of last week, and it felt kind of good, too. I walked in, turned in the equipment, and I got a little credit back on my account. You know, it felt good. Now, again, I have internet. I still have internet service because that's, again, I've joined the land of streaming. That's what I'm doing now, much like you, Connor. I get all of my content via live stream now, you know, on apps like, you know, because I have a Fire Stick, so apps like Hulu TV, different apps that have premium networks as well. I mean, it's like, why am I paying, you know, out the woozah, all of this money to this cable company when I'm not, again, as you stated, Connor, I'm not, you know, watching all of these network channels. So Mark Silverman, Big Ten Network president, he made the announcement that if you look at the numbers, they are falling. You know, they are falling right now for the Big Ten Network. Right now, if you look at the numbers, the Big Ten Network has fell a reported 3.4% throughout the industry last year alone. Silverman noted that every other major cable entity has renewed its deal multiple times since BTN launched back in 2007. And the 10-year deal with Comcast reached in 2008, which was unusually long, to be honest with you. They're hoping to keep it in place, but it does not look like they are trending that direction. So Big Ten football fans, hey, if you do have Comcast, I want to hear from you all tomorrow whether or not you will cut the cabling and maybe go with another network or decide to join the land of streaming. So we'll tackle that tomorrow. We're also hoping to have either Peter Schmuck or also Andy Koska to the show to give kind of a firsthand perspective of what it's been like covering this whole University of Maryland story. That and so much more on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Until then, folks, we are on a 23-hour break. Have a great Wednesday. And as always, be easy, people.